Welcome to the School of the Word. This is Lesson 12 in our teaching series, The Third Side in the Clash of Three Kingdoms, titled, Lord, I Am Willing, Part 4. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
As we begin this morning, I've been teaching on the Clash of Three Kingdoms, Three Sides, the Battle for Dominion. If you've been here, you've kind of been with us on this journey of this teaching, and the more I get into it, the will of God and what God would do and have us do, the more to make a choice to follow God. It's no small thing. It's a big deal. And to follow God, as I get into it and study, no wonder it was, Jesus is really the only one that's fully followed God, I guess you could say. That doesn't give us an out. But it does say that Christ in us can accomplish this incredible, when I look at the task, I'm like, it's so incredible. It's just like you almost don't want to start it. It's like, how can we actually walk with God? And it is such a huge statement to say and to consider that we're a people who's walking with God and following God. I'm like, wow, it's just almost overwhelming. And because to follow God means I'm going to follow someone means you're walking in their footsteps is what it means. And to believe in God and to walk with God is not the same thing, even though it takes both to the belief to walk. But did you know you can believe and not walk? And so it's the walk that's got me troubled. The belief doesn't scare me too much. But to walk scares the bejeebies out of me. Have y'all read this book? The walk is just, I mean, come on, God. And so I'm having a little trouble, not with my belief. I'm not here to give you faith today. I'm here to challenge you and walk. Because people who really believe will walk. And so when I look at my walk with God, it makes me sad. Makes me really sad. I could boast at it and look in the mirror and brag on how well I walk with God, but we all know that'd be a lie. Because when you read the book, you got the mirror of the Word of God looking back at you, and you're like, my. So with that in mind, I begin this teaching today on the will of God. I want to put an emphasis on even the walking with God, because the will of God is for us to walk with Him. And it's the walk of God that we're finding His presence lacking. It's the walk with God that we're wanting Him to invade this earth. I'm convinced I'm a believer. But how do I walk? Or how do I, the same word translated would be live my life. And I come up real short. And of course, I'm a grace believer. Because I know that I need a lot of grace. And you better hurry up to the table because I'm liable to use it up if it's possible. But at the same time, when the grace of God leaves me acceptable in His sight, it still doesn't mean that I've taken the first step in the walk. The grace of God makes it possible that we can walk, and we can get up and walk again, and we can get back up and we walk again. But the walk's the issue. The grace is the benefit. So I want to emphasize walking with God. What does it look like? What does it mean? It should challenge you with everything within you. Of what your walk with God. You're right with God. You believe in God. Christ died on the cross for your sins. Okay, we're cool. But now we're getting into this thing called the walk of God, because that's where the action is. The action's in the walk with God. Now let's look at it. We got these clashing of these kingdoms and the three sides and the battle of dominion here. And now I want us to consider truth versus agenda. We're living in a day. I used to live in a day that if you couldn't discover the answer to a problem, you knew that the answer was always the truth to the problem, right? So the truth, 1 + 1 = 2, that's just the truth. So what we do is we're looking at all of these problems of life and of the world and of the nation, and we say, well, there's an answer. And did you know there is an answer to all problems, amen? There is an answer. We might not know the answer, but there is an answer. And we call that the truth. So the truth is equals the equation's final authority. All right? Truth equals the equation, whatever it is, the problem. The truth is the final authority of the equation or the problem. So when we start seeing that, we believe as Christians and as believers, as Americans even, we believe that we can take the truth and present it. It's obvious, everybody sees it, and so the truth is the final authority. Did you know we're living in a day that the truth is not the final authority? Good's being called evil and evil's being called good. The truth is not the summation of the problem. It doesn't have the answers being changed. So therefore, it is not the truth. So you think, well, shoot, I'm going to go up here. This happened at work. I'm going to go up here and tell them the truth, and everybody will see the truth, and it can even be on camera. Did y'all hear what I just said? It can be on camera, what the truth is. But the problem is the truth is in a battle now. It's in the battle with an agenda. Is anybody with me? And so we got the truth against an agenda. So as believers of God and walking with God, we have to discover that, did you know you can go to court today and present the truth and nobody cares? I'm telling you, the truth. Nobody cares. I was in a court situation here several years back and took the truth, presented it. Hands down, you saw what the truth was. Went on for about 6 months. All right, finally got to the final day with the judge, and the judge said, here's what we're doing. I went to the judge. I said, the truth doesn't equal what you just said. Do you see the truth? You know what the judge said? I don't care, and it doesn't have anything to do with what I'm fixing to do. That's when I discovered what I just told you. We're living in a world of truth versus agenda, and a person with an agenda doesn't care what the truth is. So you cannot fight this spiritual battle we're in today with just the truth. The reason I presented you a couple weeks ago, which had the most power? How Jesus said it or the words He said? You remember that teaching? I told you got to have the power of the Spirit upon the words. Because if you just take the words, ain't nobody paying any attention to it. The Church of Jesus Christ, as believers, we must have power of the Spirit. And the definition of the power of the Spirit is not the human flesh example of what the power of the Spirit is. God's ways, not our ways. They're above our ways. So we've got to walk with God and find out how we live in this world where the truth is not the authority. Now, let me ask you this. Does that change the truth of God? Well, isn't that neat? It just does not change the truth of God. But the truth of God must be applied upon the words of God. The power of that Spirit has got to be applied on that truth. Pastor's teaching us on the Spirit, baptism of Spirit. What does it really mean? What does it mean to walk in the power of the Spirit? I'm just telling you, we're living in a world that you're going to try to speak truth, your truth, God's truth. It could just be a truth at work that somebody did and nobody's going to pay any attention to you because they don't care what the truth is. They got an agenda. Can it be to get you fired or get you out of there or make you look bad? It's an agenda. It's not about the truth. So, therefore, the way we walk makes a difference. How we live and how we walk makes a difference when the truth is not the final authority in any given conversation. Now, that's a shock to me. I just always thought the truth's the truth's the truth, and it's the final authority, and here we go, and everybody's going to bow to the truth. People don't bow to the truth anymore. I identify today as being a pine tree. That's the new truth. So y'all can identify me as Brother Alan Pine Tree. Right? I mean, we can identify with whatever we want. I can change the truth. You got to understand, we're living in a world where the truth is not the truth. It's being given new definition. So since we're in that world, there's not but one thing in this world that doesn't change, and it's the Word of God. Man can do anything to the truth that they want to, but this book doesn't change. Now, what we're going to find is our outside society is affecting us so much that we're going to even say that the Word of God's a little too strong or, well, it's not culturally relevant. I'm so sick of hearing that I could puke. I'll just tell you the truth. The culture needs to become relevant with the Word of God as far as I'm concerned. The reason I say it makes me want to puke, the Word of God being culturally relevant has nothing to do with the Word of God. The most profound sermon that ever hit the earth was read. In the hands of an angry God. Who was he? Jonathan Edwards. Okay. The sermon was read. He read it off a piece of paper. Very dryly read it. Culturally speaking, he didn't do a very good job. One of the greatest sermons ever spoken. Point being, culturally relevant has nothing to do with the Word of God when the words are spoken in the power of the Holy Ghost. That is the issue. You cannot make this Bible palatable to a sinful man. He's not going to like it every time. Every time he's not going to like it. So what happens is, now look at our churches, look at me, look at you. I ask you this question. How close are your tears? How close are they? Are they far away or are they close? I've noticed, perhaps not for you, but I've noticed the closer to God I am, the closer my tears are, the closer I am to leaking. Right? The closer to God I am, you can just walk so. You just cry easy. It's because you walk as close to God. So I pray right now over this whole church house that our tears would become close to our eyes once again. That we could cry easy. in joy and laughter and repentance. Let us be known as a crying church. That's fine with me. I hadn't even got off my first cotton picking slide. Brian, I apologize. I hadn't got off the truth versus agenda. All right. Here we go. The battle is more about us finding the will of God. We're talking about the will of God. I'm inserting the walk of God today. The battle is more about us finding the will of God than it is finding about our future. We're all wanting a good future, preparing for our future and all of that, for our future is in the will of God. So when we realize that's where our future is, the best future you could have is in God's will. You can't top it because you can't think that big. You think way too little, small. God's borders are expanded. Now, understanding is the preceding word of will. Now, what is the will of God? How can I know the will of God? It just so happens God wants us to understand. Did you know I'm not very good at memorizing something? I cannot memorize it. To this day, if I'm up here speaking or whatever, I go extra dumb when I'm preaching or teaching. And I could have to look for a book in the Bible and I'll have to go to the front to find it. I can't memorize anything. It just doesn't happen to me. It comes by revelation. I've gotten lazy to the revelation side. But if you give me an electric motor or something, let me tear it apart, I can put it back together. Anybody else like that? Let me tear it apart and I can put it back. Why? Because you got to understand how it works. People remember different ways. Some can people can just memorize, and others get it through understanding how it works. You let me tear it apart one time, put it back one time, I've got it forever. But it's because there's an understanding that goes with it. So God wants us to understand His will so that you've got it forever. See, that's the reason He wants us to understand it. So understanding is a preceding word of will. Ephesians 5:15-17. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Say redeeming the time. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but do what? Understand what the will of the Lord is. So here we see that He wants us to understand what the will of the Lord is. And up above that, He said, because these days are evil. I'm not going to go into how evil they are, but they're more evil than you think. Right. And I told a guy this past week, I would love to be able to come do a prosperity teaching, which I don't believe in, or just anything to make people feel. I would love to say, come to Jesus and live happily ever after. But here's my problem. I know better. This life, believer or non-believer, is tough. It is hard. I don't care what anybody says. I mean, you can say, well, that person's driving a Porsche down the highway. Well, boy, I bet they've got it made. That person is probably ready to commit suicide. The very ones that you think's got it made, which is a place that you never get to, by the way. You think they ain't got, life is hard. And it's given to everybody. It's just plain tough. Amen? It is true. So God has said this. He has said that He will walk with us through the whole cotton picking thing. And He said if we'll take Him by the hand, He'll even lead us down the path we need to go to get through the cotton picking thing. So do you think walking with God has any merit? It has a lot of merit. I can't say walk with God and everything's going to be rosy. I say walk with God and He'll say, duck, duck, duck. And I say, yes, yes, yes. right? And he'll take us through this life, which is tough and it's hard. I'm sorry, I can't do the other thing because this is not true. But I can tell you this, you can have the greatest joy on the planet because you know God's got you by the hand, you got him by the hand. You will have a love within you that nothing can wash off. It'll go through your being, it'll make your legs tingle and your head tingle and your heart tingle, and you'll just love everybody. Because God's going to walk us through it. So he wants us to understand his will. And understanding is a preceding. I'm taught you in the prophetic about preceding words. You got preceding words that unlock the door that you're fixing to go into. So understanding the will, to end the will of God, understand, God wants you to understand it. It unlocks, you say, oh, okay, God wants me to understand it. And it does something to the spirit, man. All of a sudden it starts observing the will of God, because you know you're supposed to understand it. And then you've got it, and it's there. Now, let's do this. Restoration is kind of a long sentence here. Probably my English teacher back in high school would correct me 100 times here. Restoration is restoring things and people back into the will of God through resurrection power, which we did last week, therefore redeeming the time. Is that too long a sentence to swallow at one time? Restoration is restoring things and people back into the will of God through resurrection power, therefore redeeming the time. Now, I've lived in an era and in a time that everybody wanted a new car, a new house, a new table, new chairs. Everybody wanted something new. Now, in the last, I'd say, 20 years, 25 years, we're living in a time that people want something old to restore. They want an old house to fix up. They want an old, they want a 38 Chevrolet that's a rust bucket and make it look new. Right? Prophetically, you got to see what's going on, folks. You got to see what's going on. We're living at the end of the time of the Gentiles, I believe. It's in this time that the restoration of all things is about to happen. And God starts restoring things. We start thinking restoring. Women everywhere want to get back to something. Something that's not here. They're wanting to go back to more simple things or to, you know what I'm talking about. It's the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God stirring, it's churning. We're feeling it in our bones and our spirits. That God's wanting to redeem and to restore. And so we see that restoration is restoring things and people back into the will of God through resurrection power. That's got to be there. Therefore, redeeming the time. Okay, so we see that redeeming the time is in Ephesians. See then that you do what? That you do what? All right, there it is. That you walk. Some translations would say live. That you walk circumspectively, not as, so that indicates we can be a fool. Don't walk as fools. That means I can have foolish walking or living, foolish living. But as wise, doing what? Redeeming the time. Okay, we know God's in restoring lives, he's into restoration, he's in, but to redeem time? Here's what you got to understand. Time is an issue. Time is a big issue. Satan wants to rob you of your time utmost. Utmost, he wants to rob you of your time. Now, I know everybody wants time off. I get it, but I'm not the one to talk to about that one. I need restored or something. Well, I'll tell you what it is. I had cancer when I was 37. All of a sudden, I've been in a hurry ever since. Because I know that time is limited. And so it causes me to run and to push. Because I've already heard it one day, you're going to be dead in 3 months. And it just flipped a switch in me of some. I've been in a hurry ever since. And I thought I'd get over it, but I'm not. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Days are what? they're evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but do what? Understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, which is in dissipation, but be what? Filled with the Spirit. So that why did he compare it to wine and being drunk? It's because a good feeling of the Spirit's going to make you feel a little woozy. If it wasn't that way, I'd say it wasn't that way, but it is just, sometimes it's just that way. Some people can hold it and some can't. Those that can stand up and those that can't tend to fall down. I mean, I've talked to God about it. I said, God, could you not have picked something that was a little more presentable? He never did answer me on that one. Do not be drunk with wine, dissipation, be filled with the Spirit. So there's something there. Pastor's leading us in this understanding. There's more to being filled with the Spirit than what you think. There's more to it, folks. We're living in a day where truth won't be received. That's the day we're living in. Because it's all about agenda. Now listen to me. As Christians, as walkers with God, I don't have an agenda. We say, well, you got an agenda too. No, I don't. I'm just going to tell you the truth. You can agenda with it all you want to. I have no agenda. But I do have a call, and I do have a responsibility to tell you the truth, whether you want to receive it or not. Speaking to one another, how? Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, come on, somebody. God, tiptoe through the tulips when the days are evil? Right? What was God thinking? Well, this is not about us having a good time. This is about a spiritual transaction. Right. If you look up these words and you do a study, it's a spiritual transaction. When you worship God with all your heart and you're worshiping Him, it's a two-way street. Your being, that's part of being filled with the Spirit. You got to get your connection plugged in. You give an upload and you get a download. Is anybody with me? So there's something in having true worship. You can fake it, but you ain't getting no downloads. That's right. You might be throwing a little upload, but it's not getting out of the building. You know it, and I know it. But you're the one that's being cheated. Right. As believers, me as a believer, I have not exhausted, I do not know what all it means to worship God. That's right. You can say, well, Alan, we can worship in our giving. Yeah, but right here you got specific. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart. That's kind of specific. But there's a reason. That's an upload. He's got it right there. Be filled with the Spirit, right? Somebody say yes. Yes. He's got it filled with the Spirit. Right after that, he tells you how to be filled with the Spirit. You pulled up at the gas tank right there with filled with the Spirit. You got the hose stuck in you right there, speaking in another songs and hymns. You just got to say, fill her up, God. That's right. Can you see that in the Word of God? It's not optional. It might not be your cultural scene. It might not feel just right to you because you've been reserved your whole life. Well, but I'm not saying you got to be exuberant or whatever, because it's happening. It's operation of the heart. It's a heart of worship. Some people tend to get a little wild. Some people don't. Wild ones, just remember, you might agitate those of us that aren't. But at the same time, you might push us on too. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Doing what? Giving thanks always for all things to God. Now, when we're worshiping God, we're singing hymns, we're giving an upload to get a download, but you got to have your pipes clean. How do you clean your pipes? Through thanksgiving. We're worshiping God. We're thanking Him. I know it's a bad world. I've already talked about that, how bad it is. But in amongst all of that, God's at work. God's up to some, he's sneaky. I'm sorry, God's just as sneaky as he can be. Sometimes he comes out front, but he's working behind the scenes all the time. And it's in that that we give thanks to God. So when we give thanks to God, we clean our pipes, we give an upload, we get a download, and then we're being filled with the Spirit so we can walk with God. You got it? Let's move on. Supernatural restoration of the will of God is redeeming the time. Now let me say it again. Supernatural restoration, God's in restoration business, of the will of God, when we restore the will of God, is redeeming time. Satan's after your time. You need to mark that one down, highlight it, and put it in bold. Satan's after your time. So how you manage your time has everything to do with your walk. Because he wants your time. So our job is to turn all things and to work that all things work together. Right? For the goodness of God. Now watch this. Watch it. Colossians 4:5. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. So here we see the word what? Walk. And you see the word walk in what? Wisdom. So he wants us to walk in wisdom. And then he wants us to redeem the time. Redeem the time of whom? Those that are without. Those that are outside the camp. Those that are non-believers. So when we're among trying to be culturally relevant, we're not to be like the cultural relevancy, what it demands. Now, we can be culturally relevant and walk in wisdom. Our goal is, when you see a non-believer, has it ever entered your mind, I'm going to go redeem me some time. That's what I'm going to do. Famous last words of a Christian redneck, watch his, right? We're going to go redeem us some time. What the enemy meant for evil, God's going to use it for good. So we're going to be in the time redeeming business. Now I want to go in just a little bit. My goodness, it's 10:22. I want to go into a little bit of the redeeming of my time here. Oh, I got to move. Now, in both passages, redeeming the time is related to wisdom and how we walk or live. So if you want to be in the redeeming the time business, and when I get through all this, I think you will. If you want to be in the redeeming the time business, this is a real reality. This is not fake. This is not a simulation. This is not fake news. This is the truth of the Word of God. The enemy's stolen a lot of things. A lot of things in our country is being stolen right now. I think God's given me permission to help redeem the time of the United States. I believe that. I believe he's given it to me to give to the churches. We're not to tuck tail and run. We're to redeem. But we're going to redeem by God walking with us. All right, now let's watch it. Both passages, redeeming the time, is related to wisdom and how we walk. You cannot divorce how you walk with godly wisdom. Your walk has everything to do with God giving you wisdom. Can you see that? It makes a difference how you walk and talk and act. I believe in the grace of God and everything too. But if you want to walk with God and be in the redeeming process here, how you live and how you walk makes a difference. That's what he's saying. To redeem something means to buy it back, to regain possession of it. You got anybody in your life, your loved one, or friend, or anybody, not even a friend, but you see somebody First thing I want to hit your brain, I want to redeem them for the kingdom of God. Because I know that's their original intent. And if God puts somebody in your sights, trust me, He's wanting to redeem them. And He's not going to put them in your sights if He's not going to equip you and give you the wisdom to redeem. The prophetic is just godly wisdom coming in the moment. Here we go. Time is a gift from God. 37, I was told I didn't have but 3 months. I'm 68. God redeemed my time. I stand before you in a redeemed time zone. And I know I am. So time is a gift. No one knows how much they have. Are you sober enough to hear that statement? Amen. You got a beginning and you got an end. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. No one knows how much they have. Everybody's got an allotted time from God. But you got an allotted time. Beginning and an end. Can you see why it's valuable? Can you see why the enemy wants to rob it through distraction, through aggravation, how other people act? I can go on and on and on because the list is overwhelming, but it doesn't have to overwhelm you. Somebody say amen. Amen. Greater is He that is in you. Greater is He that is in you. It's okay to acknowledge that you're getting overwhelmed, but understand the truth. Greater is He that is in you. We are in a culture today that everybody complains and it's supposed to be okay. We're supposed to pat everybody where their complaint is. Well, I started to say something, but it wasn't God. So I'll just move on. This we know that time impacts, is what you got to get. Time impacts eternity. Time is limited, but it impacts eternity. So we're here on this journey. It's in Psalms 139:16. Now watch this one. Please read this one. Please mark this one down in your Bibles. Your eyes saw my substance. Talking about God. Being yet what? Unformed. And in your book, they all were written. The days fashioned for me. When as yet there were none of them. Do you now understand when I say, where am I going? What am I going unto? We are living unto whom God saw us as before the foundations of the world. I get it out of that verse right there. God is changing all of us. We were in the mind of God written in a book. God doesn't have an eraser. We're in a book. And He's calling us all to live unto whom we were in His book before He created this whole mess. You're running there as hard as you can go, whether you know it or not. And when you walk into glory, guess what? He's going to open up a book. He's going to see if you filled your name in on it. And you're going to enter in, and you're going to be that person that you were in the mind of God before the creation of the earth. Now, is that going to be something? Come on, somebody. Y'all don't believe me, do you? I'm telling you the truth. You didn't believe me when I told you that about a month ago. The Lord said, you need to give Him a verse. I said, okay. So right there it is. Psalm 139:16. You were in the mind of God before He created the earth. You're now born again, and you're running unto whom God created you to be and wrote you in a book before the foundations of the earth. Right there it is. So, He bought you back from a lost world to send you into this verse. And He wants to use us to regain and repossess others there. That's our job. That's our goal. When God says we should be redeeming the time, He wants us to live in constant awareness of the time we have. When He tells us redeem the time, constant awareness. Titus 3:8. This is a faithful saying And these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. Okay, if we've got this time that we're living in, it's got a beginning and it's got an end and it's very valuable. What are we to be doing? Things that are good and profitable to men. He is to see us doing good works. It makes a difference if you're going to walk with God. Now, I'm going to get into, I got to quit now, it's 10:30. Next week, if you're interested, if you're not interested, I'm going to bring you the revelation and the understanding of walking with God. Do you get it this morning? Did you get what I said a little bit there? Now listen, church, there is power of the Holy Spirit that we've yet to experience as individuals and as a church. But it's there. There's people down through the ages have experienced it. I don't understand how electricity works. I don't understand how an airplane stays in the air. But it works. God's Word works. Let's stand. Well, Lord Jesus, we love You, and we thank You for today. Thank You for the power of Your Word, O God. Lord Jesus, You know our deal. If I've said anything that's not of You, I ask and pray that it just fall to the ground and everybody would overlook me, overlook what I said. But Lord, if there's anything that I've said that's of You, I ask and pray, oh God, that it'll be quickened to our hearts, to our souls, to our spirits. Dear God, in Jesus' name, ignite a fire down within us that a bucket of water can't put out, that a river can't put out, that an ocean can't put out, that the flame will continue to burn. Burn of the power of the Holy Ghost. Teach us and help us to save the lost, heal the sick. And Lord God, we want to raise the dead of the physical and of the spiritual, that the dead might be raised, that life might be experienced, and that others that don't have it would want it. Be with us as we worship You in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.